Today I want to deal with overflow, God's tsunami of blessing for you. Now, people understand tsunamis when we had that revelation of what happened to those people during that earthquake. And, you know, we've heard a lot about tsunamis, but never seen the effect of what they can do. And most of them are of destruction. But there is a tsunami of blessing. And I want to deal with that. So let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. The book of Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to read some scripture that is very familiar to you if you're a student of the Bible or minister or whatever. Or just a good Christian that likes to read the Word. And I do enjoy the Word of God. Let's start reading with verse 17 of Ephesians 3. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Notice how he dwells. The vehicle that he uses to dwell in you is by faith. That you be rooted and grounded in love. So that's where the essence of your life is coming out of the love walk. May be able to comprehend. So God expects you to understand things with all saints. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So it's very possible to be completely filled with all the fullness of God. Then in verse 20 is where I want to get to. It's a very familiar scripture. Here is where Paul's language to the Ephesians go bankrupt. All of a sudden, language is no longer, it's bankrupt. It cannot comprehend. It cannot carry trying to explain this God, this tsunami God that will give you overflow beyond your wildest dreams. So he tries to intellectualize it so our minds can understand. And he says, now unto him who is able to do. Now that would be just enough right there. But he says, exceedingly, abundantly, above all. Now when you got all, there ain't no more, like they say in Louisiana. But then he doesn't stop there, that we ask or think. Now we're getting in the realm of thinking or, quote, imagination like children do. But notice there's always a condition to walk in this overflow according to the power that worketh in you. Now there, you have to understand that the language goes blank. If I break it down, now unto him was able, now unto him was able to do. Now unto him was able to do exceedingly. No. Now unto him was able to do exceedingly abundantly. No. Now unto him was able to do exceedingly abundantly above. No. Now unto him was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Not enough. Now unto him was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can possibly ask. Not enough. Now unto him was able to do exceedingly abundantly of all we can possibly ask or think. Not enough. Now unto him was able to do exceedingly abundantly of all we can possibly ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And then language goes bankrupt. In other words, you cannot put God in a sentence or in a verse because he's so powerful. So I want to deal today with overflow God's tsunami blessing for you. Now, if that scripture is true, and it is, then it ought to work. We ought to get to a point, ladies and gentlemen, that we do exactly what the Word says instead of what religion says. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So religion says you can't. God says you can. I've said this earlier, that the cannots will never get to the place where the cans are. Because, and in fact, I don't even like that word. And I don't even like that statement in my ministry. I said, don't tell me you cannot. I mean, because we always can. It's just called discipline, dedication, and commitment to get the job done, whatever it may take to get it done. Now, how many of y'all want some overflow? Come on. How about spiritually? You want overflow? How about physically? Overflow means this. The older you get, the healthier you get. Huh? I had a lady not long ago. This is the second person that's done this to me in my ministry. But she was about 93 of them. And she said everything's in threes. You know, she just didn't say it once. She'd say three. She said, Butter Jesse, Butter Jesse, Butter Jesse. That's how she talked. So I looked at her, I said, what you want, mama? What you want, mama? What you want, mama? So I thought she was joking with me. Then I realized she talked like that. She said, my kids, my kids, my kids. I said, what's wrong with your kids, your kids, your kids? They want to put us, they want to put us, they want to put us in an old folks home, an old folks home, an old folks home. And we don't like it, we don't like it, we don't like it. What do you think we ought to do? What do you think we ought to do? What do you think we ought to do? And I just said one statement, have another baby, freak them all out. She got the revelation, especially her husband. He said, sound good to me, mama. Now you laugh at that. But that would be overflow, wouldn't it? 92-year-old woman having a baby. That would be overflow. Huh? That's exactly what the father of faith did. But he was not 92. He's 100. But his wife was 90. They say that's impossible. That's my point. You see, a tsunami coming not of destruction, but of great blessing. Believe in the unbelievable. So overflow is a tsunami not of destruction, but of spiritual blessing. Not only does God say he will do what you ask, but watch this, but also what you think. Now that's overflow. Now think about that. Let that meditate. In other words, you can ask him, but he said, I'll also do what you think if you're willing to step out into a realm that people might call you crazy, might call you stupid, ignorant. But you know what? You're thinking. Because you see, when you think, then it'll come out your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. So I began to rely. I said, Lord Jesus, I mean, you've done some things for me, but I said, can I just do like I did when I was a child? He said, yeah, children have great faith. Why? Because they haven't been learned, they haven't been taught to doubt yet. You see what I'm saying? They just believe you can do anything. That's why they'll bail off, man. You tell them, jump. They'll just jump in your arms. Till they get a little old and they go, wait a minute, I don't know if I can trust you. You may not catch me. Isn't that amazing? So when you understand the tsunami blessing of overflow, you'll realize that not only does God say what he'll do what you ask, but he'll do what you think. Now, have you been thinking lately of the unbelievable and the impossible? Or are you just trying to get by? That get by stuff is no fun. And it's your, I don't care what it is. It's, I mean, if I'm not coming up with something impossible, unbelievable every day, then I'm not walking in overflow. Cause I want my mind, and sometimes my mouth don't want to express it cause it seems so flat, crazy and insane. But yet everything you see was once crazy and insane. Everything you see, nobody had lights, man. We could light a place like this. That was insane. Can't believe that. A man can't fly, yet look at the men that are flying today. Lord Jesus, oh Lord, that was all insane. Stupid thoughts. Do you know they wanted to shut down the patent office in 19, almost right, like in 18 something, because all the inventions had been invented? Now, what fools, what school did that boy go to? But you see, he was trying to deal it with his mind. But if you can think it, you can have it. Think about that for a minute. So now people say, oh, that's silly. No, that's what God said. Now unto him is able to do exceedingly abundant of all we ask or think. Now it's done according to the power that worketh in you. What's that power? Burden removing, yoke destroying, anointing that's in you. You see, the power base of who you are comes from God. All you've got to do is be the vehicle to hold it. You understand what I'm saying? And to release that power in you so you can have that tsunami. Well, can you get my whole family saved? Sure. Why? If you can think it, you can have it. You understand what I'm saying? But you're going to have to think it. And then when you think it, you need to speak it. When you begin to do those things, first people are going to look at you like you're nuts. That'll never happen. Well, I mean, you know, anybody can say that. See, that's the kind of odds. You can't do that. You can't do this. I heard that all my life. You can't do that. And every time when you do something that's unbelievable, impossible, people think you're trying to beat them because they're not willing to step out the boat of religion and get on the water. Because if you stay in the boat, you only meet disciples. You get out on the water, you meet Jesus. Now, to get out on the water, you got to do the unthinkable and the unbelievable. As long as you're in the boat, bless God, everything around you is over your head. But you get out in that water, everything around you is under your feet. Now, that's unthinkable and that's impossible. Every time God tell me to do something, it isn't easy. I say, can't we do something easy? It's just a waste of time. Don't you want to go where no man has gone before? Yeah. He said, well, buddy, you're not going to do it in the boat. You got to get out on the water. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, not only does God say he will do what you ask, but also what you think. Now, listen to this statement. You are a vessel full of creative power, and you have the potential to get so full of the Spirit that you overflow into the realm of the unbelievable and the impossible. Now, what's unbelievable to you right now? Let's get your mind to thinking. What are you believing God for? I mean, what you would love for God to do, but it's just impossible. You can't get there. Put that in your mind. You ought to write that down on your notes right now and say that will become a believable and a thing that will come to pass, not only in the faith realm, but in the natural realm. Think about that. If it's the payoff of your home, write that down. That's almost unbelievable. Can't ever get that done. Write that down. See. And see now, and start thinking on it. And start quoting it to yourself. And start believing. You're not trying to convince yourself. What's happening is faith cometh by hearing. And the best thing you can do is hear yourself say what you can't believe until you can. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, that's God's tsunami of overflow. You want your church paid off. Okay, well, I'd like to have a church of 10,000. Well, start saying that. Write it down. Start telling everybody we're going to have 10,000 people. They all think you're crazy. It don't make no difference what they think. You're working on something. See, what you're doing is causing an earthquake in Satan's realm, and a tsunami, a blessing will come. And he can't stop it. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? I never forget when the Lord spoke to me, he said, you'll build your buildings debt free. That was almost unbelievable, impossible. And then the Lord said, go tell the banks you don't need them. Oh, Jesus, have you looked at my bank account? We do need them. I mean, if I look at the figures, I mean, all right, I needed them. I mean, you know, I had to have them. It cost millions of dollars to do what we did. He said, what are we going to do? Are we shut down now? I said, so? Fine, showing up. The three banks, y'all showed up. And they said, well, Reverend, you want to borrow or you make a loan application? I said, no, I don't need you. Well, how are you going to do this? See, they're a little irritated about it. How are you going to do this? I said, cash. I said, you ought to know something about cash. You deal with cash. I said, but the reason why you can't believe it, it's not your cash that you're dealing with. You're only dealing with someone else. You know, everybody's dealing with someone else's cash. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, that's impossible. Yes, that is. Now, my mama going, it's your Lord. You're going to look like a fool. Stupid, stupid, stupid. But my spirit was stronger than my mind because I had to think it. And if I can think it, I can have it. So I said, just drive by and see it come up. And sure enough, they did. Of course, they went all over New Orleans and all the surrounding areas and parishes. My God, the man did it debt free. Well, I didn't. Jesus did. But I first had to think it, and then I had to ask it. And when the Lord spoke that to me, I said, let's go do that. And you know what? I looked at a lot of circumstances that sure didn't look like it was going to work. But it certainly did work over and above and beyond. In fact, God did more than I thought. I said, why did you do more than I thought? He said, it's a little extra. I just felt like blessing you. I said, well, anytime you feel like doing that, just go ahead. He said, you know, he said, I could, but a lot of times you can't receive what I want to do. Because to you, it's unbelievable and unthinkable. But to me, he said, I'll create it if it doesn't even exist. But it has to work according to the power that worketh in us, or the power of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Or whatever you believe in God, whatever you take, or you take a scripture and you stand on that and make it a rhema platform. You see what I'm saying? Now, you get ready for criticism when you hear stuff like that. People say, that can't happen, that won't work, that can't do that kind of stuff, you can't do this. See, those are the cannots. But God said you can. So I expect every day a tsunami of blessing. In fact, but see, the difference is a tsunami of blessing will destroy an enemy of you. See, because you see, that person can't stand in the presence of a tsunami of blessing. It'll knock him down and destroy. It'll take him away. But a tsunami of blessing will put you on a surfboard and you ride up on the high places. You see what I'm saying? Glory to God. You just come up on a high place because it's your blessing. You're going somewhere to be blessed. So God causes overflow to come into your life in direct correlation to the power of his spirit working in you. That's why I tell everybody that I meet, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost since you believed? And people go, well, some people said, no, I don't believe that. I said, are you having some trouble in some areas? Yeah. I said, well, there's a lack of power in your life that you be filled with. Now, you don't have to understand it. See, Kathy got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I didn't believe in that Holy Ghost stuff because I thought, why would I want to speak in something I don't understand? Why would I want somebody rubbing my head, spitting in my face, and tell me to talk real fast so it would sound right? I didn't like all that stuff. I never forget the first time Kathy fell out in the Holy Ghost in a church. It made me so mad I could spit. I stood up and said, get up, woman. What's the matter, you crazy woman? Laying on the floor of a church? Are you nuts? Get up. Get up. But the Lord had us so saturated with the word of God, she couldn't even see me. I was playing the piano. I was actually playing the piano. She fell out and went, oh. So I started hitting the piano. Ding, ding, ding. You know, trying to get that woman's attention. She go, sound like a little Arab girl. She was just enjoying herself in the Holy Ghost. Kathy's pretty quiet till the Holy Ghost hit it, and then she get loud. And everybody just look at you and embarrass the socks off you. Man, I mean, after that, sir, I said, what's the matter with you? She said, the Lord touched me. I said, why'd you fall down? She said, I didn't know I was down. I was raptured, you see. She just wanted to be a blessing. And God wanted to be a blessing to her. So if you're taking notes, write this down. God causes overflow to come into your life in direct correlation to the power of his spirit working in you, which means you don't have to understand it. All you have to do is experience it. Once you experience it, it'll bring forth a manifestation and an experience, and then that'll become a testimony. You see what I'm saying? And God will minister life to you in that area. Now, when you understand the tsunami blessing, God never fills a cup. He runs it over. So I had a guy look at me and says, oh, you and them faith guy, y'all are just something. I said, let me tell you the difference between me and you. I'm no better than you are, but let me just tell you this. The difference between my faith and your faith, your faith is a risk. Mine is a relief. Glory to God. See, when I give, instead of going, oh, Jesus, I just lost some money, I immediately go, it shall be given unto me. That ain't a risk. That's a relief. A good measure pressed down, shaking together, running over. Shall men give unto me. For with the same measure I meet with, it shall be measured to me. Lord Jesus. See, because it's not a risk. It's not a gamble. It's not a shot in the dark. It's God's word that's not a promise, but a prophecy, as I've said before. A prophetic utterance that's coming. Thus saith the Lord thy God concerning Jesse. If you will give, it shall be given unto you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. Running over. That's overflow. Why? God never fills a cup. He runs it over. Constantly. He will never just do enough for you. We've been taught all our lives that God will meet our needs, but we never want to touch them to other things that God said he would do because we're afraid we might get some criticism. He said, if you delight yourself, therefore, in the Lord, he'll give you the what? Now, most people's desires are not their needs. Have you noticed that? A need is you got to have it to live. You know, it's called food. You got to have some transportation. If you got to go to work, especially if you live in California, because everything, you got to drive 40 miles to go just anywhere. And if you miss one exit, you better trust God because you may show up in another state before you get back on. Lord Jesus. And people are not too friendly driving around here. They just come around, you know, give you sign language, all kinds of different things going on out there. I wanted to tell, but don't y'all know we in a convention? What y'all doing there? But I thought if I'd had my car, pull, well, anyway, glory to God, that boy wouldn't have to do that sign no more. He wouldn't have a finger to do a sign. But that was wrong, so that's emotionalism. But it ain't personal. It's just business. No, can't justify that. Got to learn to control that. See, so I just began to realize, and Kathy drive well, but I mean, you know, Kathy, she'll go, hey, Jesse, whoa, mama, don't look at me, just look at the road, they're California. They got people, motorcycles, just driving, man, if somebody just go over one inch, wham, there goes the motorcycle. But I guess they just used to doing that. I don't know. Glory to God. They do that in Louisiana? You never make it to California. Somebody pull you on the side and kill you right there on the road. You do something like that. So, I mean, when you understand that God, this faith is not a risk, but a relief. So if you go home today and your husband's not saved, instead of going, wah, and he may be acting crazy, drunk, cussing, he may be running around, you know, but do you want him saved? Yeah! That's not a risk. It's just his tough luck. He married you. You got the promise of your family down to 1,000 generations. You might tell me, I don't care how bad you are, boy. You're going to get saved whether you like it or not. And he'll lie and he'll get mad and cuss. But greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. If you can think it, you can have it. See, that's an overflow. I tell you what's so crazy. That's what my mother said. My mother told me, she said, I was a heathen. I was a good heathen. I was a heathen baby. I was. Mama said, I was always in trouble. Even as a small, I just said, I was always trying to figure something out. You know, something going on. And, you know, where's Jesse? He's doing it. I mean, always trying to do something. But mama said, you're going to get saved whether you like it or not. I said, Mama, that ain't going to happen. And she just laughed at me, which would make me mad. She'd go, who do you think you are, better than God? I said, don't push it, Mama. Don't push it. And sometimes I would just cuss just to make her mad. She said, you just went down another level in hell, so enjoy yourself. Then I thought I would try to criticize. I said, they're full of hypocrites. All the whole church is full of hypocrites. She said, you got to be smaller than a hypocrite to hide behind one. You don't win with a Cajun mama that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Then one time I told myself, yeah, Mama, I got my own philosophy. So you got to know the word of God. And Mama said, beware lest men destroy you through philosophy and vain deceit. I said, I ain't saying nothing no more. See, Mama could think it, so she received it. You see my point? But it was in direct correlation to that Spirit of God that was in her. I mean, there was many times she could have got depressed and discouraged about it, but refused to do it. And she wasn't denying I was doing that stuff. I'll tell you a story. God is, I don't know, you know, it's amazing. God will tell on you sometimes, especially if you got a mama that's got the inside track to it. I was in Mexico in Boys Town. If you ever been to Boys Town, I can't say what I was doing down there. But I was in their nightclub. I'm talking sin. Now, my name when I was a rock musician was called Jerry Jackson. It wasn't Jesse Duplantis because people don't understand that Cajun. Jerry Jackson, J-A-X-O-N. Jerry Jackson, I was a rocker. You know, I mean, you know, he listened to Earth, Wind, and Fire. I was a Joe Cocker man. Leon Russell. Mad Dogs in England. Led Zeppelin. You know, I'm talking. Don't act like y'all don't know that stuff. I know some of y'all know that stuff. I am in Mexico, man. And there's a phone call. And there's a nude girl dancing on my table. I mean, it's bad. That's all I can say. Because it would be improper. Because I was full of the devil. And I had a friend of mine with me, Jimmy. And he was a drummer. Boy, we were just smoking dope, drinking. Woo! Anybody in here named Jesse Duplantis? Exact words. You got a phone call. Does anybody know my name, Jesse Duplantis? And so I didn't go to it. Again, is there anybody in here named Jesse Duplantis from New Orleans? I said, and Jimmy said, that's your real name, isn't it? I said, yeah. He says, anybody know you here? I said, no. Even Kathy don't know I'm here. I was full of the devil that day. I go there. I said, hello. And my mom, she said, you devil from hell. The Lord showed me you in that heathen place. Get out of there before the devil kill you, you little heathen. And hung the phone up on me. Let's have it. My mom would put the judgment on you. Gotta kill you. I hung the phone up. I come back. I said, Jimmy, we got to get out of here. He said, what's the matter? I said, God's going to kill us. He said, let's get out of here. Let's go. Where we going? That's a true story. See, mama had overflow of power in her life. It was in direct correlation. I mean, I called her when I got back over in, what's the name of that town? Not the boys' town, Reynoso, where it was. McAllen, Texas. I went back over the border. I said, mama, how did you know? She said, I was praying, and the Lord showed me, you little heathen, with that naked woman. I said, I don't want to hear no more, mama. I don't want to hear no more. That's a true story. That's no exaggeration to that. I never forget Jimmy said, your mama a psychic? I made a joke. He said, you think she saw me? Yeah, the Lord gonna kill you for sure. Oh! Now you see, that was an overflow from God through my mama, but it's in direct correlation according to the power that worketh in you. If you can think it, you can have it. I don't care what it is, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial. I don't care if it's a dollar or a million or a billion. It doesn't make any difference to God. You can't break it. You're only dealing on one planet. My God, man, we're in a galaxy called the Milky Way. How many 100 billion planets, moons, and stars in one galaxy? And we know of at least 100 billion galaxies that we can see. And they all belong to Him. You think you're going to break Him if you ask Him for $1 billion? You know what $1 billion is to God? Nothing. Nothing. So He never fills a cup. He runs it over. Your faith is not a risk. It's a relief. And I write this down. Overflow comes in many ways. How's it? It could come from greater work opportunities, better ideas, or from entirely unexpected sources. But regardless of how it comes, overflow always comes from God Almighty. See, some people want to overflow, but they want to lay down and let the Lord just drop it on them. And sometimes He may do that. He may just let you rest. But you see, it could come in a greater work opportunity. I want to get out of debt. And all of a sudden God said, well, do this extra job. Oh, I don't do that. But you may be sowing something you don't even realize. You might be talking. You might meet someone that'll change your destiny and destination on that job that you just thought you shouldn't do. See, that might be a greater work opportunity. Better, how about a better idea? Or from an entirely unexpected source. I mean, see, but let me tell you something. But regardless of how it comes, overflow comes from God Almighty every time. It's amazing. Every time that I needed what I call more than enough, Because that more than that enough stuff, see, is that delight you. You see, I wanted some desires. Well, I was told as a Christian growing up, if you believe for desires, you were greedy. And that wasn't true. That was flesh. But that's scriptural. He said, if you delight yourself, therefore in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your. What kind of desire you got? You have a desire? What? A what? Debt free. See, I mean, only the Lord could tell you. The devil wouldn't tell you. Did he tell you go borrow more money, get you sink yourself more? But you see, I thought, the Lord said, I'm not finished with just desires. He said, I'll even give you wants. The Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want. He didn't say I would not want. He said, I'll never get to the point of shall not because I would not want. Well, how do I get that? Watch this overflow opportunity. Let patience have its perfect work. Book of James, that you be perfect, mature, entire. Watch this. Wanting nothing. So the Bible gives you a need, gives you needs, desires, and wants. The church only preaches need, maybe. Because they have elevated sacrifice over obedience and elevated poverty over prosperity. So in actuality, people that are doing that are actually in disobedience. I'm going to get some ugly letters on that, but that's a fact. Because you see, they can't go to the world, preach the gospel, and their God is from America, not from God. Because if America don't send them money, it ain't going to work. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Because it's better to obey than to what? Sacrifice? A lot of people have sacrificed. And were they obeying? They were obeying the sacrifice, but they wouldn't believe the fullness of this scripture. That I would bless you in the city, bless you in the field, bless you going in. That by his stripes you were healed, not will be, maybe so, I don't know. But I am sick. I don't care about I am sick. I'm talking about were healed here. Which is past tense. Before you ever got sick, you had a healing coming. God already done filled up your deposit. Already filled up your account before you could draw a deposit off of it. Or before you could draw a check off of it. You see what I'm saying? He deposited something in there. You know, before anybody ever got sick, he already put enough healing in your account for you to take it out if something should attack your body. That's overflow in every area. So overflow comes in many ways. It could come from greater work opportunities, better ideas, or from an entirely unexpected sources. But regardless of how it comes, overflow always comes from God Almighty. So you know what I do? I always thank the Lord, brother. I do it every day. You know, I've been flying planes now for quite a while. I had two jets. I'm believing God for my third one, getting pretty close. Glory to God. But I tell you what, every time I get on that plane, I put a reminder in there. I got a sign in there. Say, God been good to Jesse. I just look at it. I say, Lord, I just want to thank you. He said, how many times are you going to thank me? I said, till you come get me or till I die. He said, I will always give you something so you can say thank you to me. Boy, Thanksgiving, open up God. It just it's when your child comes to you and say, thank you, mama. Thank you, daddy. You go, see what else I can give that boy here. Let me see. It's amazing because it's coming from the heart. I said, I'll always say thank you. I will constantly. Now, Kathy may not know this sometimes, but I thank God that God gave me Kathy. I give her a little hard time, but you ought to see some of the stuff she does to me. If you go to one of her preachers' meetings, you'll find out a lot of stuff about me you don't even know exist. She said, it's payback time. You understand? But we work together. We just go with the flow. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean we don't have arguments. Oh, we'd never have arguments if she'd listen to me. But then she said, no, that's wrong correlation. We would never have an argument if you would listen to me. And she said, you tell the truth. How many have you won? I said, I don't want to talk about it. Hallelujah. Glory. See, God made Adam. He said, this is good, but I can do better. So he made Eve. Shout, ladies, I just set you free. Now listen to this statement here. You can write this down. God does not work in an empty mind. There are a lot of people in going to church got empty heads. Oh, got empty heads. God does not work in an empty mind. He does not work with an idle will. Write that down. We're dealing with overflow here. See, there is a miracle-producing power in obedience to Christ. For you to receive overflow in your life, you must also have organization in your life. Write that down. Before you can receive overflow in your life, you must also have organization in your life. You've got to get organized, spiritually, physically, financially. Because if you don't know where you're going, you're not going to know when you get there. If you don't know that tsunami of blessings for you, someone else will get it. Let me say it again. God does not work in an empty mind, just sitting there waiting for God to fill your head up. No. He does not work with an idle will, just maybe so he can move you. You ever seen lazy babies? They got some babies. Well, I've seen some lazy. They go over like maybe 14 months before they start walking. They just lay there. Finally, they begin to get up and walk. They'll crawl, but they ain't walk too much. Then you got some of them babies 6 months, 6, 7 months. Just trying to move. My mama told me my oldest brother walked when he was 7 months old. Just because he didn't want to stand. He didn't want to stay still. We had a lady that used to work for us. In fact, her husband still works for us. What's that? Joel's little girl. I can't think of her name now. Joel, you know, in Salvador, the little girl. A beautiful little girl. I'm talking at, was it 7 months or 7.5 months? She's walking. Now, she only this big. You get to see a baby that little just walking. She just took off. She said, I ain't say. And she'd look at me. She'd go, how you doing, Brother Jesse? Not at 7 months as she grew older, you know. You know, she got about 2 years old. She'd say, hi, Brother Jesse. Is my daddy working? I said, yes, he is. Well, can you bring him over here? I said, do you want to see him? Yes, because, you know, you got the power. Now, where she heard that at? Who knows? What was her name? Jenna. Yeah, Jenna. She, you got the power. So, you know what? I call the office. I said, Joe, Sabra, come over to the nursery. Boy, come on, you think nothing wrong. I said, Jenna wants to see you. She looked at me. She goes, thank you, Bud Jesse. Love you, Daddy. You go back to work now. That was worth the trip. But she was so, I mean, just strong as a little bull. I mean, she's so little. But see, she was going somewhere. So she didn't have an empty mind and she didn't have an idle will. And there are a lot of people like that. For you to receive overflow, you can't walk in an empty mind or an idle will. You people that are in wheelchair, let me tell you something. I don't deny that wheelchair. I deny it's right. Don't you ever say this with, I will stay here the rest of my life, because you will not. I don't care what your problem is. You understand what I'm saying? I don't care what the doctor said. Thank God for them. Don't misunderstand me. But you have a right to do anything Jesse Duplantis can do. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. We're believing with you. Standing on the word. Believing with you. I mean that sincerely. I don't care how old you are. Ain't got anything to do with your age. Ain't got anything to do with that. I don't care what they say. I don't care how bad it is. If you can think it, you can have it. That's an overflow. Ooh, Jesus. Now, why did I say for you to receive overflow in your life, you must also have organization in your life? Go with me back to St. John chapter 6. I spoke on this on, I don't know if it was part one or part two, but I want to read this verse of scripture. St. John chapter 6, verse 10. This is where Jesus is about ready to feed the 5,000. And Jesus said, 10 and 11. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and to the disciples of them that were set down. In other words, you can't get overflow without obedience. You had to sit down if you're going to get a piece of fish that day. And likewise, the fishes as much as they would. Now, watch this. The Lord said, I'll feed you till you just can't hardly walk. It's all up to you, as much as you would. See, some of you people stop right before the overflow hits because somebody done told you, oh, I don't want to get too much. Somebody might say something about that. What you going to do with this? As much as you would, you got to remember this. You're not going to exhaust the possibility or the power of God. Now, notice when Jesus said, make the men sit down. In another place, he had them sit down in numbers of 50. In another gospel. Why? Jesus was organized. If you notice this, he could have went and done the whole thing by himself. But he went, picked him 12 disciples. Why? Because he was thinking not only what he was going to do, but what they were going to do after he was gone. He was already organizing the kingdom of God. He was already setting up the West Coast Believers Overflow Prosperity Convention before nobody ever heard of Kenneth Copeland. Because you see, he was dealing with the future. He was sowing seeds for generations to come. He was sowing seeds, Mike, for your ministry to come. And you weren't even born, my Lord. You weren't even a professional football player. Nothing. I mean, nothing. Yet he had that in mind. Now, he could have done it all by himself. My Lord, he was there when God created the world. That's not the issue. The issue is, he said, I have organization. Now, one thing about my ministry is organized. I believe in organization. Oh, yeah. Why? Because you have to know something. It's called good business. And I find a lot of ministries are not organized. They get this wild, well, we're going to move to California. And then 2 years later, we're going to move back to Dallas. And then 2 years later, we're going to Montana. All this money being wasted. Make your mind up where God placed you. God ain't running you all over the country and then write partners and say, oh, you know me, I felt led of the Lord to go over here. I felt led. Led? What do you mean led? I mean, I'm spitting all over myself here. Led? What do you mean led? Let me get over here so I don't spit on you. Because your mouth get dry sometime when you preach. I made up my mind. God, where do you want me? Now, I'm going to tell you where I wanted to be. I wanted to be in Dallas. Big D. Little A, double L, A, S. I was born in New Orleans. I wanted out of Louisiana. And I went out of Louisiana as a heathen. And I moved to Dallas, and me and Kathy, we lived, apartment was in Dallas. My daughter was born in Arlington, Texas. When I got born again, I said, man, I'm gonna stay in Texas. And Lord said, go back to Louisiana. No, Jesus, no. He said, oh, go to hell. We're going back to Louisiana. You understand? That's disobedience. I went to hell. I would have never done what God told me to do. Well, you don't like noise? Yeah, I like noise. Not the issue, but you know how it is. You like to just do, I want to go somewhere else, do something else. So I realized when God called me to the ministry that this ministry could not float or operate or function with just Jesse Duplantis. That I had to get a team. I had to get people around me and to make people understand my vision. That's why I never deal with budgets. I got a budget. I know what things cost. But budgets cost you something. Vision brings you something. I deal nothing but with vision. What's your budget? Don't make no difference what my budget is. Did God tell me to come here? Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Now, here's the vision. This is what the Lord said. Make the vision plain, not the budget plain. Because the budget plain is limited. You meet the budget. Now what you going to do? You got back to zero. You know what a budget is? Zero. You spend it, you get it back, you add zero. Where's your vision? Where are you going? What are you going to do? Where do you want to get to? You see my point? He made these people sit down in 50s. He organized them, and he organized the Jesus of Nazareth Evangelistic Association. Think about that. And brother, when he went and he came back, he said, go in the world and preach the gospel. They had to be organized too. Then God still kept organizing. And he sent out a man named the Apostle Paul, who was once Saul of Tarsus. Then he sent out a guy named Cephas and Apollos. Oh, man, God was there. And he's still doing it today, constant. You got to get organized for you to receive the tsunami of overflow. Amen. Because you know what? If somebody walked to some people and just gave them $1 million, they wouldn't know what to do with it. They go buy a car. That's what's wrong with some of you athletes that are finally tuned in your work, but you don't have no more business. You want to buy 14 cars. I mean, nothing wrong with 14 cars, don't misunderstand. Man, get you a business. Somebody's not going to rip you off. Something to make you think. Because I don't care how good you are, you're going to get old. You ain't going to be able to hit the basket sometimes. So you make a way. I felt so sorry the other day when I saw Mike Tyson lose that fight. My goal was $300-something million, he said, I got, you know. And I thought, wow, yeah, somebody should have protected him. Now, I ain't taking up for him. I know the boy, he get hungry and he'll bite you and all that kind of stuff. he just got hungry. I don't know. I'm not against the guy. But I thought, my God, man, what a waste. What a waste. Didn't need to be a waste. But somebody just take care of him. And have enough sense to know that you're weak in that area. So put somebody around you that you're strong, that's strong in that area. And God will honor you. So there is a miracle producing power in obedience to Christ. For you to receive overflow in your life, you must have organization in your life. Now listen to this. Overflow is not given for you to work less. Write that down. Overflow is not given for you to work less. I'm just going to go lay up in Hawaii and enjoy myself. Nothing wrong with Hawaii. Because I think you need time. That's one of my weaknesses. One of my weaknesses is taking time off. Because I'm a working machine. I'm constantly working. But I'm getting better at it. I tell you what, you've heard me say it before. When I came into this team of preachers, Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Vail both told me, to my face, you don't know how to play. We are going to teach you how to play. Play for children. I got time to be playing. But I followed them. I had enjoyed myself. Kathy said, you went 3 days without calling that office. Is that a miracle of God? She said, look and notice how good you feel. Yeah, no, no. Oh, see, because you see, I didn't know how to do that. God will put people in your life where you're weak at, so let the weak say I'm strong to teach you some things. So overflow is not given for you to work less, but to obey Christ and envision more for the kingdom. So I don't want you to take that out of perspective because, you know, you need to work, but I mean, you need to take time off yourself. I mean, even God took a day off. Think about God. You think it was all said and done? Do you think he just laid down and went, whew, what a tough week? No. He never even embraced the darkness. You ever notice that? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was out form and void. Darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord God moved upon the waters. And God said, boy, it's dark out here, isn't it? Ooh, look how dark it is. No, he didn't say that. He didn't deny the darkness. He didn't create the action. What happened was, he printed it. He said, light be. He just changed it. So, overflow is not given for you to work less, but to obey Christ and envision more for the kingdom. Now, write this down. We must focus on our attention on him and act with purpose toward his will and his work. Be careful that you don't focus more on how you're going to do this. You need to focus on how God through you is going to do this. That's a very easy mistake to make, because you see, you do have talents. You understand? God created you in his image. That's why you begin to think, you know, I can do this, baby. Then after a while, you become so busy with godly things, you forget God. All of a sudden, you find yourself run out of anointing, run out of faith. Things are going down. You don't know what happened, how it happened. Overflow, listen to it, we must focus our attention on him, who? Christ, and act with purpose toward his will and his work. Do you know that's exactly how I give? I never give because there's a need. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with the money going to the need. I never do. The Bible says, every man according as he what? Purpose. In what? His heart. So let him what? Give. For God loveth a what? A cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. Why? That's a voluntary giver. I always give with purpose. Purpose. Why am I doing this? There's a purpose to this thing. And I flow in it. Then I tell you what, I also teach my flesh. See, automatically you think a crowd this big, well, you know, if you're going to go to a big church, somewhere you get a big offering. Some of the best offerings I've ever received in ministry were from small churches. I've had some friends of mine say, I can't go to that church unless they have at least 1,000. Why? That's why you got financial trouble. Can I say something, and I'm not bragging on this, in 28 years of full-time ministry, I have never, ever had a financial deficit. That's a miracle of God. That's a miracle of God. We were talking on a motorcycle trip. Remember that? Me and Brother Cope and Sister Cope. And Kenneth said, boy, I wish I could say that, but I can't. I mean, I said, well, I ain't no better than you. I mean, I don't have no more faith. Why did I have a... Well, I said, you know, I never could figure out why I never had a financial deficit. But then I realized something. All I wanted to be was a blessing and a burden. And if I preached in your churches, well, I preached in your church Sunday, didn't I? Did I charge you anything to come? Didn't they know? Cost me money to come. Did I charge you? No. Nothing wrong with somebody taking care of your expenses, your food, you know, your hotel, your... But you see... I do that all, even when I go overseas, I do that all by myself. I just pay for all that. Why? Because, Art, at that meeting, when I preach for you something, if that didn't cost me something, then it's of no value to me. Didn't Jerry Savelle say, give a seed of value, a significant seed? See my point? See, that's the way I think. And the Lord said, that's why you haven't had a financial deficit, Jesse, because everything you've done, it cost you something. He said, you finally understood what I did. It cost me to get you saved, and that was my son, Jesus. So I don't struggle with them. People say, how much does that jet burn? I could care less. Just start the engine. Let's get out of here. I'm helping the economy. That don't make any difference. I'm a good businessman. I know what it costs. But that's not the issue. Hey, God told me to go do this. What do you want me to do? That's according to the power that worketh in you, see? So when I come, I just come. And I'm not looking for meetings. Don't misunderstand. But I made up my mind. That's why I can go preach to a church of 5. Because it's not determined how big the offering is. I could care less. Or 5,000. I preached the other day to a church of 22,000. Come on, that was a big. I mean, just people everywhere. Boy, I know what people think. Boy, I bet he just knocked it down. No, it didn't have anything to do with it. A lot of people come, don't give nothing. Then you might have one person in that church. Turns out to be the guy who owned the whole town. I had a lady run at me one time in Florida, I'll never forget, running with $7,000 in $100 bills. $7,000, running like this, like a fan. Right past this pastor, he went, She said, this is yours. I said, no, man. She said, no, the Lord told me to give this. This is yours. Take it. It's not mine. I said, ma'am, I don't know you. She said, I don't care. The Lord knows you, and he said to give you this. I said, well, give me my money. That's what I said. So I took that $7,100. I came out short cap. I said, you ever seen a fan like this? Wouldn't you like to have a fan like this? This is a miracle of God. Just wanted to be a blessing. And then the Lord blessed them greatly. It was a doctor and his wife that had done that. When you understand the overflow concept, write this down. You will save yourself years of doubt, confusion, and misplaced energy. Let me say it again. When you understand this overflow concept, you will save yourself years of doubt, confusion, and misplaced energy. There's been times that you burned energy that you needed for today, but because you didn't understand this concept, it caused confusion, which burns up more energy than anything else. Let me say it again. When you understand the overflow concept, you will save yourself years of doubt, confusion, and misplaced energy. See what I'm saying? And I tell you, it's one of the most amazing things to see that. So I made up my mind, anybody can be confused. So I kind of adopt what Keith Moore says. What does the word say about that? I like that statement. Well, bless God, we're just going to believe the word of the Lord. Now, we're not moved by what we see. Have y'all, when we prayed against that hurricane last night, it was just such a blessing. That thing is already going. It's already moving. I want it to hit mountains because mountains tear them up because they can't get no energy. And then it can go somewhere and rain where some people need some rain. There are some places in America that definitely need some rain. You understand what I'm saying? If you need new water, bring your truck. They got more water in New Orleans than anywhere you ever see. You cannot exhaust the water in Louisiana, especially in New Orleans, Louisiana, because it's just covered with water. And it's pretty good water. It's not bad. So when you understand this tsunami, let me go over this real quick. God does not work in an empty mind. He does not work with an idle will. He believes in organization. You've got to have it. His overflow is not given you for you to work less, but to obey Christ and envision more of the kingdom. We must focus our attention on him and act with purpose toward his will and his work. When you understand the overflow concept, you will save yourself years of doubt, confusion, and misplaced energy. And I want to back up then. Overflow comes in many ways. Greater work opportunities, better ideas, or from an entirely unexpected source. But when it comes, it always comes from God Almighty. So I made up my mind. If God wants me to work hard, I just work harder. If God gives me an idea, concept, I'll operate with that. I'll say this and I'll close. When I was a little boy, I figured out that mom and dad loved but didn't have nothing. I remember, we were poor. I mean, and I'm not ashamed of that. Not ashamed of that at all. You know, because I mean, I think mom and dad did the best they could at the time, in those times. But come Christmas, I'd get an orange or I'd get an apple. Or a butternut candy bar, or a big time candy bar. Boy, that's big. That's a big thing. Now, that's poor. You know, we didn't have no toys. Forget no toys. Didn't have that. Anybody ever been through something like that? Maybe growing up, ever been? You know what? When people know what I'm talking about. Usually it's older people. It was tough. So I'd get an orange, a navel orange. I always wanted big oranges. Boy, I was a mama. Always wanted a peppermint candy cane. Not one of them little ones. I want one of them big fat ones. Remember those big fat, they used to make them back then. I don't even know if they make that anymore. A candy cane, but a fat one, about that big. Oh, I thought, Lord, if I ever could get something like that, but I would never make my mother and father feel bad. Because I was glad to get the orange or get a big time candy bar. But, you know. But then, you know, the Lord gave me an understanding as a small boy how to get some overflow. So I never forget, Daddy started doing a little better. Oh, you know, let me go back to that candy cane. You know when I got that candy cane? Last year. I got so excited, people thought I was crazy. Guess what is wrong with that? Look at this. I've been wanting this since I'm 5 years old. Somebody brought to my house and gave me a candy cane that big and that big around. I just took the paper, I just sucked it. I said, I got 50 years I got to get on this thing. I've been walking one since I'm 5 years old. That sounds crazy. But you know, you forget about that. I believe the Lord moved upon that person. That person said, listen, I don't know why I did this. And I never did it. But the Lord told me to buy you a candy cane. Oh, Jesus, just let me have it. When I was 24 years old, Kathy said, what do you want for your birthday? I said, get in the car. Remember that? I said, I'm going to buy me a pair of U.S. kids tennis shoes with the blue stamp. Hey, man, I was making more money you could shake a stick at, but I forgot about that. I couldn't believe, and you know what? I put them tennis shoes on in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, and I did exactly what I would have done when I was 7 years old. I took off running to see it. I knew I could run fast with them kind of shoes on. You know how children only put a new pair of tennis shoes on? Boom, they go run. Kathy said, this man is crazy fool. I just run it. U.S. kids. Blue stamp. And we were raised poor. You see what I'm saying? Now, I came up with an idea. Daddy got to doing a little bit better. And of course, my brother was born and my sister was born. I'm 7 years older than my youngest brother and 6 years older than my youngest. I only have one sister than my sister. So by that time, you know, he started doing better. So I must have been, I don't know, 10, 9, 10, maybe 11 years old, something like that. He said, Jesse, buy you something nice for Christmas. What you want? I said, a lawnmower. He said, what? I want a lawnmower, Daddy. What do you want a lawnmower for? I see opportunity. I said, there's a lot of lazy men on this street that don't want to cut their yards. And they got their wives out there sweating all the time. I said, I thought, Daddy, I just go in the lawn business. He said, boy, I think I was 10 years old. So I was 9 or 10. I can't. He said, boy, you're just a child. I said, Daddy, if you can get me a lawnmower. I said, they're on sale at Sears. Bought me a lawnmower. Oh, son. It's like I grabbed that thing. I went to, I drove, I walked down the street for pushing it. And I said, I'm in business to cut grass. The lawnmower, I got remember, I was short, so the lawnmower was kind of like, I said, I'm in business to cut grass. I believe people just were sorry for me. You know what I'm saying? That little boy here. I said, I'll cut your yard. I said, but I'll cut it for 50 cents. That was a big yard for 50 cents. And that lady said, oh, little fella, you ought to get more than that. I said, okay, how about $1? Oh, you ought to do a little better. I said, $2. $2 to cut a yard? She said, would you like to cut it every week? I went, 2, 4, 6, 8. That's $8 a month. Yeah, I can handle it. She wanted to cut once a week, 4 weeks in a month, $8. I said, okay. Then I went to the next lady. I said, hello. She said, that's a pretty new lawnmower. I said, it's to cut your grass with. I said, I'm going to start cutting this lady's yard. Would you like to have your yard cut? She said, well, I like my yard cut for the weekend. I said, Fridays are open. And they were. I said, I got to get out of school, but I'll come do it in the afternoon. I won't tell you something, man. I cut grass at 12 o'clock at night sometimes. That's Saturday, just cutting grass. I mean, I look like the green man. I had grass. But I come in, I have my money. My brother said, give me some. No, you ain't getting none of my money. I bought my mother her first new washing machine. First one she ever had in my life. Cutting grass. You see, that was an opportunity that God gave me to make some over. And I always had money. Always had money. But I always had work. And as I got older, you know, of course, I began to do better. They said, boy, man, why don't you come back and cut our grass? I said, too expensive now. But my Lord, I had a friend of mine. God, he did the same thing. You know what he did? He wound up owning 180 lawnmowers. At 15 years old, excuse me, I'm sorry, Mom. At 15 years old, he's making $150,000 a year, 15 years old. He was actually running his daddy said, how do I do this, Tom? His daddy had to ask him how to do business. 180 lawnmowers. And then he signed contracts with some of these major hotels for landscaping. Wealthy as all, get out. I had to work hard. See, that was an overflow concept. You see, some people don't want to do, oh, no. I want to lay here. And as you drive by with your lawnmower, give me a Coke. Don't work that way. See what I'm saying? How many of you want a tsunami blessing? See what I'm saying? So look for opportunities, concepts, ideas, because they're all out there. Be willing to work, or it may just come from an unexpected source. Like this, but thank you. I want to say thank you. It was such a, you don't even know what's going to happen. Just bam, things just begin. I go, Lord, what are you doing? He says, taking care of you. Taking care of you. You know, we heard about this thing about London. The first thing I did, I called my office. I said, call my offices there. I want to find out if any of my partner, anybody, something going on. I mean, stand for something. You know, if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. You see? And so we could be a blessing. Yeah. Yeah, so when that tsunami a few years ago, whenever it was, hit that terrible and just destroyed, first thing me and Kathy did was, I said, Mama, let's do something. I ain't never been in that part of the world. Didn't want to go. But I tell you what, there's always somebody who is believing what we're preaching. And I found me, was he a Methodist guy? I think he's a Methodist fellow. Oh, man. And I tell you what, man, we helped him build that orphanage back. Glory to God. Just, I said, immediately, boom, 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 start pumping. I said, Lord Jesus. I mean, you could hear what they wrote. We just never thought anybody would do that. I said, oh, your work is good, but you're not Methodist. Yes, I am. Methodists believe in Jesus? Yeah, I'm Methodist. Catholics believe in Jesus? Yeah, I'm Catholic. Amen. Baptists believe in Jesus? Yeah, I'm Baptist. Pentecost, I, what do you want me to be? I become all things to all people. Yeah. If they believe in Christ, that's good enough for me. But even the ones that don't believe in Christ as the Messiah, the Son of God, I don't get mad at them. I just let my light shine. I'll say this is my last closing again. I had a Muslim come up to me when I was in England 2 years ago. He says, you know, I'm not a Christian. I said, yeah, okay. I don't know what that is. He says, you know, but he said, I want to get close to God. I said, become a Christian. Oh, I can't do that. I said, well, you'll always be on the outside. I said, I'm not against your religion. I'm not against you. Do what you got to do. I said, you want to be close to God? I said, what do you see in me, mister? He said, you have such a relationship with God. I said, how did I get that? How did I get that? If Jesus is the way, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I said, I got close to his son. Well, I believe he's a prophet, but not a son. I said, well, you already got two strikes against you now. I said, do you want to get close to God? Yeah. I mean, well, you can say, hello, God. And he said, hello, Jesse. Would you like to hear that? Oh, you ought to see him. Oh, because he loved God. I knew that man loved God. Oh, yes. I said, come over on our side. I said, all I ask you to do, I said, I'm not criticizing your religion. That's between you and whoever you want. But if you want to get close to God, you want to get close to God? Yeah. Is that what you desire? Yeah. I said, well, I'm going to tell you how I did it. Now, if you don't believe that, you don't have to. I don't try to make anybody get saved. You know, I just present it. Yeah, I got to think about it. I said, well, think about it. Do what you got to do. Well, come to find out about 2 or 3 weeks later, we got one of them emails. He said, I did what you asked. He said, I am talking to God and talk like this. I am talking to God and God is talking to me. Not trying to proselyte. I'm just saying, hey, he wanted to get close to God. This is how I got close to God. Now, you don't have to take it. But if you want overflow. And the Lord just, this is what God's saying. I got all this stuff. Want some? Now, quit thinking just money. I'm talking like what Brother Creflo was preaching. I got all this love. I got all of it. I got all this. What do you want me to do? Would you, as many as would you receive this? I'm not worthy. We ain't talking about your worthiness. We're talking about your receiving this. I don't know if that's a word. I'll just coin it. Would you? Would you? Yeah. This is so simple. But religion has tied knots in it so hard. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Watch this. I will give you rest. He ain't going to give you a trial. I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy. I ain't heard that, boy. I heard you get saved, boy. You be ready. The devil going to beat your brains out. No, no. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Why is his burden light? Because he's always giving you something. You're always giving something else. You're not only a contributor, but a distributor. You're constantly just doing this. That's why the burden's light. Hallelujah. God just filling up your coffers. Keep filling it up. And he'll run it over. Yeah. Did you enjoy it this morning? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Glory to God. What a blessing.